Michael Angley Live, and that is me, and I'm sitting here in the beautiful sprawling hills of Ithaca, New York, Finger Lakes, man. Lots of vineyards, lots of cheese, and lakes. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Some college students, man. Ithaca College graduating tomorrow. Congratulations to all the college people out there graduating, moving on to their new world of having to work and pay off your goddamn bills. And don't forget about taxes. Woo-hoo! You know? And you don't really feel it, man, when they stick it to you. You know, young people, when you talk to them, it's funny. They're like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, life is, there'll be no problem. I'll work and whatever. I'm like, you know, you got to think that. You're going to give a big chunk of that money to the government so they can go and waste it and do whatever they want to do with it. So anyway, that's my well wish for you to go out to the world. You're effed. You know what I mean? Unless you're like Prince Harry. You'll see some royal scum that you can say, hey, you know, I don't have to do anything because I'm rich AF and that's my life and boom. Of course, Prince Harry got married today to a woman who is biracial and from America and has been married already and divorced. And, you know, and an actor. A lot of people were upset about Harry, you know, being with the actor, divorcee, whatever. But what do you guys do? You know, the guy, he's already hit the wall. You know, aside from being a prince and being filthy, disgusting rich. And you got to understand my disdain for royalty. I don't like robber barons. I don't like royals. I don't like anybody who is going to be in control and look down on others and then say, well, it doesn't matter because this is life and, you know, life sucks for you. It's good for them. And I don't know. I don't get down with that whole thing. I look at those palaces that they have and I look at all the stuff that they have. And I think that there's a lot of people out there paying for that that deserve to keep their money. If you work and you make your money, you deserve to keep your money. You don't need to go and support these goddamn royals. You don't need to support robber barons. What you need to do is support yourself, you know, and your family, because that's more important than paying someone to go out there and screw off in the world. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you this, man. It's ugly. It's disgusting. And I don't care if you love that Prince Harry or you like his antics, because you know what? Prince Harry is like a little naked monkey running around. You know, he's running around Vegas and naked, showing his wank at everybody, and then, you know, getting drunk, falling into pools and all that. How they said, oh, he's finally growing up. People's version or definition of growing up is the guy got married. You know, that's your version of growing up. I know a lot of people that got married. They still haven't grown up. I haven't never gotten married. I feel damn grown up. to the point where I feel the stress of the world, man. I try to offload it. I vent it on to you guys when you listen to the show, because you get it. People out there get it. I talk to people all over the world. They get it. And what you get is you work, you make your money, you support your family, you live your life, and that. Some people get sucked into having a family when they're not ready to, or they don't want to, or whatever. There's a lot of women out there that would like to pop out those babies and get paid. Let's not forget about that. But there's also love. I believe in love. I believe in good, positive relationships. I don't think it happens for a lot of people, but I certainly think it does happen. It's not like some fable type of unicorn type of thing. And I can't say a unicorn doesn't exist either, because I've never seen one. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but this whole royal wedding, I'll tell you this, people, there's no hoopla, people didn't really care. You know, when Princess Diana got married, it was like a huge event here in America. People got into it. It was widely watched all over the country, all over the world. You know, Princess Diana held herself well, you know, Prince Charles is what he is, right? But I have nothing nice to say about any of those people. And Prince Harry, apparently, his real father is what people say the bodyguard for Diana's bodyguard. Looks just like him. You can go through all the pictures on the internet. I mean, they look identical, you know. And then, you know, Prince Charles, he himself, doesn't look anything like Harry. So I'll just throw that out there. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I just like the, I like the whole DNA type of thing going on. I like to find out who your daddy is. But anyway, there's mysticism, there's controversy, you know, Princess Diana, the way she died, how she was being chased by the paparazzi and they smashed into an embankment. You know, the driver of the car was a bit drunk, but he was also a race car driver. You know, whatever, man. There's a lot of I don't know what you call it, man, just controversy that surrounds the whole royal family. I don't like royals as it is. As a pirate, I don't like them. I just don't see they serve a purpose. I see that we should be moving on in this world, getting away from kings and queens and dictators alike, getting into a system of democracy where people have more control over their society and then not so much stuff jammed down their throat. So, you know, the one thing I understand about people from England, and you know, I have a large group of people in England listening to this show. We talk back and forth, and I got people in Australia too, and whatever. Australia kind of got away from the whole thing. English people are very nice, and that's not a bad thing. They're not rude at all, as a matter of fact. I have met, yeah, of course, there's a few, but I haven't met too many that were, you know, very accommodating, very nice, almost like beaten into submission and afraid to speak on their own, you know. And now English people are starting to get pissed off because of all the acid attacks, knife attacks coming from these migrants that have come in and whatever, you know, war-torn people coming from wherever the hell they come from. They put a lot of them in London. They're calling it London Stan. And then it's a lot of politicians there look the other way when this violence goes on. Of course, you know, their mayor covers for them. But the deal is, you don't need a prince. You don't need a queen. You don't need any of that. It doesn't do you any good. You know, the queen doesn't make great decisions. I see them as a bunch of selfish, self-serving, you know, wealthy, disgusting people. And then so they invited 600 people to the event. Oprah was one of them. Oprah has no ties to Harry, to the woman he married, to the queen, to anybody. And I kind of think that Oprah is the ultimate wedding crasher. I think that she just shows up because she wants to show up. And who's going to say no to Oprah? You know, Oprah comes knocking on your door. Of course, she goes, hey, it's Oprah. Nobody has venom towards Oprah except maybe Trump, because he's worried that she's going to run against him in 2020, which could happen. And I'm hoping it does, because that just adds more to the three-ring circus. But so Oprah was there. I don't know. George Clooney was there for whatever reason. That guy sticks his face in a mall. The big libtards. You know, Harry's a big libtard. Harry's pussy whipped. You can see that girl's got him wrapped around his little finger. So he's like in his love lust or whatever. And I'll predict this marriage, it's not going to last. It's going to go bing, bang, boom. She's going to pop out a couple royal babies and then go on with her life. You know, that's going to be it. And the girl's father didn't even come because of a whole bunch of weird stuff with paparazzi. And they made him look bad. And then her sister that she's estranged from is all angry. And she made the father look bad. You see, this stuff's already going on. This drama, it's like Hollywood drama, too. Always going on. But this woman is an actor. She is Hollywood. To her, this is the big deal. This is the big payoff, right? This is the big wallet with legs, and then royalty at that. Social status up the kazoo, man. So now she's going to be able to go out there and flaunt that social status, and a lot of people are into that type of thing, you know? But you'll see what happens 4, 5, 6 years down the road, 7 years down the road. I think that things will change. But, you know, more power to them. Do I care about how many babies that pop out in the royals? And I mean, every time, you know, his brother has a baby, people are like, oh my God, look, it's a royal baby. And I think, like, you know what? How archaic. How antique, you know, is this to have a queen or a king or a princes pop up? Baby, like, it's a big deal. I think that it's, you know, I mean, if that's what people want to idolize and or be made to idolize and more like it, you know what I mean? They're just royals, and that's all that they are. And, you know, when people wise up in this world and really wise up, they're going to stand up to people like that. They're going to stand up to people like the Koch brothers or the George Soroses in this world, and they're going to drag them out of their palaces, and they're going to feed them some a good level of justice. And then that's going to be the first day of humanity being progressive and making a change for the future. Because Prince Harry is just the same as the rest of them. He can say he's liberal, he cares about people and all the little African babies and all that stuff. Let me tell you, this guy cares about wealth and power, and he's part of the system. They could have, okay, say, oh, we're not going to have it in the palace. We're going to have it in a regular old place. You know, we're going to just be normal people and act like that. No, of course not. You got to do it big. You got to do it huge. They invited 2,000 commoners. This is their word, commoners, okay? Royals, commoners. A commoner is just a plain old person, not royal. So there's a distinction between the two. This is these royal people talking. We invited 2,000 commoners. They told the commoners to bring their own lunch and to pick up after themselves and not even giving them bathrooms. Just to come and view the royal wedding so they can have people in a photo opportunity for the media. That's all that it was. People got to come early in the morning, stay there all day, leave late at night through security and all that, bring their own food, poop in the bag, bring it with them, poop in a bag like a dog. Poop in a bag like a dog. And this is how they treat people. And this is the same for the George Clooney's of the world, the Amal Clooney's of the world. All these people say that they're these great, loving, caring people, whatever. But when it comes right down, they are the not-my-backyard people. They don't want to confront anything evil in the world because whatever affects their lives, that's what they get pissed off about. But they don't care about anybody else. And they get very political, and they put you down over your political ideas. You know, when Prince Harry sat down with Barack Obama to interview him, a special interview from Prince Harry to Barack Obama. You know what? It's just two douchebags sitting in a room. Do you get it? And there is no, oh, special sit down or whatever. Because one, Prince Harry does not interview people. And Barack Obama has no business even getting into, you know, Trump's politics and how he runs his office. He's the only president that has ever stayed in it and talked trash about the president-elect, the one that's in office, the one that's running the show. And this guy is constantly bad-mouthing him. His wife is constantly bad-mouthing him. You get the idiot Hillary, just some crazy robot, you know, running around bad-mouthing Trump. They're pissed off because he's doing some good, you know? So, I'll tell you, man, Prince Nothing, the King of Nothing, Queen of Nothing, you know, all they do is push people around and have for themselves, not care about anybody else. You mean to tell me with all that they own and all everything that they have, they couldn't have supplied lunch for the goddamn people they invited, 2,000 people? I'm sure Oprah wasn't eating her lunch from her purse, right? So they couldn't provide lunch for 2,000 people. I'm sure there are companies, corporations out of there that would have loved to donate food to those people. They should have just gave them freaking porridge, right? Here's your porridge. Now go shit in a bag. Welcome to the royal wedding. Now get the F out, you know? It's just like that. Take a cricket bat and swat them on the ass to get them out the door. Bye. The palace grounds are closed. If you're here in 5 more minutes, you'll be shot and dragged out into the streets. Yeah. Great. That's that liberal love. The liberals are the biggest hypocrites on the planet. They're the biggest haters on the planet. Every liberal that I know of, and there's a few, they don't say anything nice. They don't do anything nice for anybody. They're not kind in any way. All they do is complain about their own crappy lives. And life is what you make of it.
Yeah.
Life is what you make of it. But, yeah, so that's my take on the royal wedding. What time is it? 6:30. That was a decent, that was a worthy rant for the prince. The prince and the naked prince and the actor, right? The actor. So now, of course, that this girl's mother's black, she said she wants to get together with Oprah and have an interview about racism and how horrible racism is. Guess what? There are people in the UK assaulting this girl because she's because her mother's black and her father's white, assaulting her. Saying terrible racial slurs, saying terrible. One, angry that she's an American. Two, they're angry that she was already married and divorced. Number three, they're angry at the color she is. So talk about racism. But now you got Oprah in your face having interviews. What's that going to do? What's it going to do? Is it going to make these racist morons any kinder, gentler? You know? So I like to think that some people can be educated, but it happens when they're young. And they learn this crap when they're young. And now look at it. Now look at it. But I see what people were writing about the royal wedding. It was pretty funny. Even the people that, like, on Facebook that were into it said how boring and you know, contrived it was. Just not very unnatural and stiff. No fun. I don't think weddings are fun anyway. The guy giving away half his stuff. That's it. That's the binding contract. Once you got some prenup, you're giving away half your stuff. That's all. Every time I talk to a dude who's getting married, I'm like, how can you give away half your stuff? Just, you know, stay in a relationship. Have one of those special type of special relationships. Don't sign the paperwork. It's a raw deal. You mean dudes I know that have been married, divorced, married, divorced, married, and divorced? One of my friends is suffering. He's always going to court. He's fighting for his kids' rights. He's fighting for more time with his kids. But his ex-wife, who stopped, you know, he's paying her to live, paying child support. She's not working. She's dating some bum with some drug addict, having that around the kids. Then she goes, and the money that she gets, she's supposed to be paying the mortgage. She stops paying the mortgage on the house, and the house goes up into the rears, and then he almost lost the house. This dude had to get another job, two full-time jobs, move out of the apartment that he was in, get a cheaper apartment in the welfare area, and then he's doing all this to support kids. Now she's trying to take his car from him. He has an old car from like the 80s, and she's trying to take his car. And this guy is always in court. He wants to be Mr. Nice Guy. I don't want to, you know, hurt the mother of my children. I'm like, dude, you're a mangina. You're a mangina. Mother, you hurt the mother of your children. She doesn't care about you. Your kids, nothing. She just cares about the ride and torturing you, you know? So whatever, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's no reason to get married if you don't have to get married. Don't do it. You know? Unless you really... All right, let's say you fall in love with someone, they're the true love, and you're sure of it and all that. But, yeah, a lot of people think that. A lot of people think that. It's kind of like when you're, you know, you're dating someone, and you get to the point where you're in a relationship, and you want to get married. The guy's got to think, hey, this is it, you know? It's a whole court thing after that. So imagine the person who's looking at you saying, I love you forever. I'll always love you forever. Oh, you're my sweet little muffin. I love you forever. Oh, yes. And a few years later, I freaking hate you. Hope you die in the gutter, you scumbag, bastard, piece of crap. And you're like, oh, my God. Then they go and take half your stuff. You know? All that pain and torture. So do I think that people can't have good marriages these days? I think that when I look at statistics and I see that 2/3 of people get divorced in America, the only people that seem to stay together are Asian couples, and there's all kinds of reasons for that. But I'm talking about statistics. You know, the black community has been dismantled. there's an agenda of genocide against the Black community. There's been one, there is one, there'll be one. No one's putting a stop to it. You think that people would after a certain amount of time, but nope. Spanish people, they tend to be family oriented, staying in the family, having children, being a family unit. I can respect that. You know, a lot of ethnic people do. Italian people, same thing. You'll see that in a lot of families. You'll see that, you know, from like other countries. In America, I think that people have been polluted in this country, and I think that women in America, especially Caucasian women, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this. Well, I'm just speaking the truth. You can't dispute it because the info's out there. But I think that a lot of women practice hypergamy. They're always looking for something bigger or better. And then they stay in a relationship until they find another dude. They monkey branch up to another dude. It's all about money and status. It's all about stuff. And it breaks a lot of guys' hearts. You know? So men commit suicide way more than women in this country. You know, men get ruined very easily. And I think that right now, this country is stacked against men. There's a war on men. So it's like you can't get a break. And then it sucks because, you know, you want that companionship. You want to be with somebody. You want somebody to trust and be with and count on, most of all. And, you know, somebody that you can share your personal moments of weakness or whatever from your past, stuff that you were growing up, maybe like share that with them. And, you know, they take that to heart because you're sharing something close from your heart, you know. But then soon after, those same people will use that against you as weapons, you know, and they hurt you with it. And it's a bombardment plus shaming language and whatever. And all the stuff that people do to each other in relationships that shouldn't take place in relationships. You know, if your relationship's over, end it. Just be over. You know, don't drag it out. Chris Rock, the comedian, said, however long you're going out with someone, you've been breaking up half that time. And it's pretty funny. So my prediction for Harry, for Prince Harry, I don't have it, man. There's a lot of screwed up stuff in the world. You know, look at this school shooting in Texas. Another school shooting. And what did I say? After Parkland. There'll be another one soon. It's part of the culture now. It's part of this culture, these young people that think they can do this and then all of a sudden be famous in a weird way, but take their revenge out on society also because they're angry and they're disturbed and screwed up. So the Parkland shooter, now we found out that he was participating in an Obama program of deferment instead of putting his ass in jail for committing serious crimes in the school. 179 infractions, by the way. This kid was a career criminal already, but the school kept it from the cops, or they all kept it down into the system of deferment. But all right. So they created a monster, or he was already a monster, but they nurtured it. And then all of a sudden, you see what happened. People are dead because of it. Cops didn't want to engage or whatever. So now in Texas, well, of course, you know, Florida, the big gun debate. Guns, guns, guns. Got to get rid of guns because guns kill. Guns, guns, guns. All right. Now in Texas, this guy used a shotgun, right, and a whole bunch of pipe bombs. And he also had a pressure cooker bomb, kind of like the bomb that was used in the Boston Marathon bombing, right? No guns used there. Bombs. So I get into a discussion with this friend of mine, who's basically liberal. And they're like, well, you got to ban guns. I said, well, you know, this guy used bombs, pipe bombs. Pipe bombs are illegal. You can't go and buy pipe bombs from your local store, your gun store or whatever, because they don't sell pipe bombs. You have to go out of your way to assemble a pipe bomb. And then that's the problem. It's not about guns. And sure, shotguns are very powerful, probably one of the most powerful weapons that you can get a hold of, especially for that kind of combat, right? Especially for that type of situation. The guy didn't have an AR-15 to run to the school. So who is this guy? Who is this kid? this young kid, under 18, is, you know, part of his Greek dance group, and people described him as a nice, pleasant, loving kid. But what was his problem? Let's see. He was repeatedly bullied by the kids in the school to the point where he didn't want to go to school. Bullied by the coach. He has a football coach doing terrible things, saying terrible things to him. So you're going to tell me that this is just another instance of a kid falling through the cracks of abuse from his schoolmates, abuse from the school itself, from the educators in the school, abuse. And then he wigs out and makes this final statement. He was going to kill himself, but he didn't kill himself. So now they have him alive, and they can treat him like a science experiment and pick his brain and see what went wrong. I'll tell you what went wrong. Society went wrong for him. You know, playing violent video games went wrong for him. Desensitization to violence went wrong for him. Same, you know, look at a Parkland shooter. Another one that could have been prevented. Another kid that was bullied. You know, all the people going out talking about guns, they all admitted that they bullied this guy. That they shut him out. He was weird. They didn't want him in the group. What do you think that does? So, you know, whatever happened just to being a kind person? A kind person, doing kind things for others. What the hell ever happened to that? You know, have we really lost that in this world? Because I haven't given up. You know, I'm a kind person. I do kind things. And even sometimes you'll get that kindness back. Whatever. I'm doing it for myself, too. You know? Now, I'm not expecting anything back. I don't give gifts to get something back. It's something that you give of yourself. But here we go again. More of a gun debate. Got to take guns away. They can't say that the shotgun fits into the same category as AR-15. But what people don't get, and like, you know, I was talking to my libtard friend. I was like, it wasn't an AR-15. You can't say, oh, ban AR-15s, ban a so-called assault weapon. I said the shotgun they used is an assault weapon because you use it to assault people. You could use any weapon to assault people. It's an assault weapon, right? But then they're like, finally, oh, we'll ban all the guns. Like in Australia, guns are banned, basically. Some people can have hunting rifles or shotguns who live in the outback. They got to defend themselves against spiders that are 20 feet wide. Of course, there was just a shooting the other day, a mass shooting, 7 people killed in Australia. A country that has, you know, a little more of a population than the state of New York. And when people speak, they don't think about the different challenges in the United States of America, and also what's been preached and pushed on young children, the violence that's been pushed on young children in the U.S. I think that when people don't understand that, they don't understand where others are coming from. So I feel bad for all the people this kid killed. I feel bad for his family. I feel bad that he didn't get the help that he needed to prevent this thing from happening. But no matter what, and this is the bottom line when it comes to guns or anything else, if somebody wants to kill people, they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way. It's going to be an accessible means. It could be anything. And this guy had all kinds of bombs from you know, simple Molotov cocktails to more elaborate things. The police found all kinds of stuff. He wrote about it. He wrote about how he wanted to attack the school. He was getting even for something that he feels like he had to, because he feels like he was wrong. And that's the desensitization. There's no reset button on life. You can't read like a video game, you reset and you're alive again and you're running around. In life, there's no reset button. This kid's life is done. And Texas has death penalty, you know, and they're going to waive. He's underage, but he's old enough to be tried as an adult. It's called a waiver. When they give you a waiver, they waive, you waive your rights, basically. They're waiving, the state is waiving their rights as a youthful offender and making them an adult. And then he'll sit in jail until he's 18 or wherever they deem. And then they'll execute him, probably by lethal injection. So It's just another horrible tragedy that happens. And sure, if you banned every gun that there is, still there'd be illegal guns, number one. You know, I mean, these shootings go on in Chicago or Baltimore or L.A. every day. People get killed every day in this country by illegal guns every day. You know, the MSC, CNN have special town hall meetings on getting rid of illegal guns in those communities. You know why? Because CNN, Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, all the people on CNN, they don't care about the black people and Latino people in the gangs killing each other, getting killed, or the innocent people in those neighborhoods getting killed because of gunfights. They don't care. They only care when something happens. Oh, a white person does something to someone black, or a cop shoots an unarmed black person or a Latino person. That's when you see the big news stories, and they want to drag people out and race bait and make a profit off other people's misery. That's when they care. But I care about all those lives that are lost. I care about those people and what they have to go through every day in the muck and the mire. I've been in those neighborhoods. I've hung out in those neighborhoods in East New York, Far Rockaway, Queens, places like that, the South Bronx. Let me tell you, man, especially back in the day, it was a war zone, much like it is today in most of those places. So if you go into a community where the cops tell you not to, don't stop for red lights, don't open your window, lock your doors, you know, if someone approaches you, get the hell out as fast as possible. Obviously, they don't control the streets, but they're saying those streets aren't safe. But why aren't they safe? You know, it's not because people's religion. It's not because of people's color. It's not any of that. Why aren't those neighborhoods safe? Because there's criminals running around. Lots of them. And people will victimize you just like that. You know, without thinking about it, there are people that would kill you and take your money. They don't care if you have, you know, children or whatever, and you have your family. They don't care. They don't care. Your average person out there cares about other people. They have empathy. They understand. These are cold-blooded killers. They don't care. They'll shoot you as soon as look at you. Take everything you got. Torture you. Take everything you got. Rape you and kill you. Take everything you got. So let me tell you, in a neighborhood like that where it's not safe, how do you think that children are going to grow up? How do you think that people are going to be able to face that down if they're afraid to go out of their apartment every day? You know, then these horrible government housing units. Half the time, the elevators don't work. The air conditioning doesn't work. The heat doesn't work. All kinds of stuff, right? The buildings are unbelievably dangerous. So how do you expect people to succeed in all of that? And how come, you know, all these black people who are famous, including people like Barack Obama, who was president for 8 years, all these people are kind of saying, well, look at this problem, look at them. All these people talking about the problems, all these people talking about the symptoms, but nobody treating it. No one treating the symptoms or the problems. In fact, what they do, they profited off of it and they contributed to the problem. I want to level all the ghettos in the U.S. Level the ghettos. Take the people that live there. Take the criminals. Lock them up. And then take the good people that live in these places and put them into transitional housing where they can get on their feet, become something in life, you know. And then there's all kinds of programs we can have. You know, wow, they have CORE, the CORE program, which basically is full of criminals. They give criminals the option of going to jail or going to this program and learn a trade. They don't want to be there. They don't care. What do? They beat other people up who are in the program. They intimidate. They rob other people in the program. It's a nightmare. So the good kids who are at risk don't want to do it because they're afraid. And they're going to get victimized, and they know it. And no one's looking after them, and they know that. So unless those things are confronted, what George Clooney says means nothing. Jamal Clooney says means nothing. What Oprah says means nothing. All these people who talk trash, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, they were in charge for 8 years, did nothing, accomplished no goals. If anything, Barack Obama made it worse because he gave the green light to criminals to go out and commit crimes. and not sticking up for police officers getting killed by these criminals, but instead sticking up for the criminals. Really? And was that his job as leader, commander-in-chief, leader of this great nation, was to divide people further racially, divide people by religion with all this Muslim crap, shoving Muslim crap? Hey, man, this is Ramadan. Ramadan started on the 17th. It's going to continue all the way through June 16th, something like that. So you think there's going to be terrorist attacks because of Ramadan? So you think people are going to use that whole religious thing to hurt others and whatever? You know, Barack Obama did nothing. Nothing for anybody. Nothing. And I laugh my ass off every day, every time I see Trump roll something back that Obama did without Congress. And then, you know, one of his people were like, well, you know, Trump's undoing his legacy for the whole 8 years. You make me laugh early in the morning, say something like that. Wake up and read that in the news and make me laugh so hard first thing in the morning. I thank you for that. I thank you kindly, man, because if I had my way, I would hold all these people accountable for all the crimes and lies that they commit, and I would put the screws to every last one of them. And all the chicanery with Obama and the FBI and Trump's campaign and how they interfered and spied on Trump and all this nonsense, this whole Mueller thing too, let me tell you, man, it's not helping any. And if any, you know what? If Trump did something improper, call him out on it. Charge him for something. You can't charge a sitting president with a crime. You have to impeach them first. But if he did something wrong, then do it. But you know damn well that it's the people out there that can't stand him. They hate his guts. They love to hate Trump. And anything they can to tear him down, they would. As a matter of fact, they have aligned themselves with the seediest, scummiest people on the planet. The people that you don't want to be near or around. Low lives. And then they're out there, you know, they're demons, man. They're demons. Blood-sucking, emotional vampire demons. And they will suck the blood out of you, every last drop of it, and laugh and ask for more, and then move on to the next host. I think Stormy Daniels isn't like that. And then, you know, when she claimed that Trump was having sex with her when Melania was pregnant, they have a picture of the three of them together. Here's a woman. Let's say it's true and Trump was having sex with her, and I believe that he would have. Here's a woman who is sitting next to the guy's wife, and she knows that she's having sex with him, and she knows that she's going to benefit financially from it. And it's all about power. You remember saying before about Prince Harry and the whole thing and the power trip of these people marrying princes and doing that whole bit? You think that Stormy Daniels wasn't feeling that power trip of having sex with Trump and then doing that behind the woman's back? So, yeah, she's not a moral compass. She's scum. And I don't get down with people that cheat on their spouses and do all that stuff. I think it's wrong to do. If you're in a relationship, you're in a relationship. In your relationship, there has to be a responsible level of loyalty. You don't do that to people. You know? I've never done that in my life. I've never been in a relationship in my life where I had stepped out and had sex with other people. That's just not me. I'd rather not be with that person and break up with them and be with who I want to be with. And that's pretty much what you got. So Stormy Daniels, and now then she gets paid off to keep her mouth shut. Now she's trying to cash in and make more money. She's a stripper. She's a porno star. She's been stripping and doing her thing, trying to make money that way, getting men to come in, you know, with the whole Trump. She's just playing it. And then she's got this scummy snake lawyer who's like, you know, taking information about the wrong people, that whole Michael Cohen thing, and putting it out there. And he got the wrong Cohens, and then put that information out there instead. And this guy's such a snaky background. But who is he tied to? Oh, he's tied to Rahm Emanuel. And he was in the super PAC for Obama. Of course. Now people want to know, who's paying him for Stormy Daniels? You know, this guy's on TV. They said that he's already gotten millions upon millions of free coverage for his law office and all that other stuff. So I'll tell you, man, this is what happens when you have no virtue. And these types of people come out. And never be ashamed of what you do. A very wise man who is a DA of Nassau County, Dennis Dillon, a family friend, somebody who was sort of a mentor to me growing up, taught me some stuff, certainly. But never, you know what? Don't be ashamed of what you do. That's it. Don't be ashamed of what you do. If you're ashamed of what you do, don't do it. And that's what these people are, man. They're all the same. Trump's included. He's in there. He's in there, right? But it just drags us down as a country, and morally it drags us down. The Democrats don't care because they want to do that. They want to take the seat. They want to put somebody in for 2020 to win. They have nobody. Let me tell you, it is May going into June of 2018. Where am I? We're at the midterm elections, 2018 elections, right? And they have nobody for 2020. They're floating, oh, we got this guy and that guy, and Oprah's thinking about it. If God tells her to, she's going to do it all, whatever, man. If the economy's doing well and Trump is making deals, if he's ending wars and solving problems, helping people around the world, but helping us first, helping ourselves first, which is important so we can be strong and stand on our own, there'll be no reason to get rid of him, right? So they're going to try to drop the bomb before voting time this year, before November of this year. You're going to see Mueller come out with some information September, October, late September, early October, just 4 or 5 weeks before people vote. And they're going to try to drop the bomb. They're going to make Trump look really crappy, and other Republicans try to shift the House so they can have Democratic control of Congress and not Republican control, right? But now in 2020, then that's going to be a whole other issue. But let's say the Democrats take the House, and then what do they do? They put a stop to anything Trump tries to do, or they spend their entire time in there trying to impeach him for something, for whatever. And I'm the first person to say, if you're guilty of something, I'll put the screws to you, because I'm all about justice and law. I don't care about all this made-up nonsense. I care about facts, justice and law. You did something improper, people need to know about it. You charge people accordingly, right? But Obama first, Hillary first. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that we need to hold accountable for. The Department of Justice under Obama, the CIA under Obama, the NSA under Obama, all these agencies, all these things that went on under him. And plus, they tried to fix the presidential election. So, yeah, we need to hold people accountable. I think that's what their biggest fear is, people like Hillary and Obama. I think that they're afraid of this can of worms, and then they just try to baffle people with bullcrap as they go along. They think, though, that they're untouchable. They think that even if this thing explodes, they can just go away, right? Hillary Clinton talking about moving out of the U.S. You see that one? She mentioned that to a reporter in a conversation, that she and Bill were looking outside the U.S. Yeah. Probably to a country that has no extradition, you know. But if we're going to hold our heads high as a country of law and order, we need to hold people accountable no matter what level they are on. I don't care if they're the president. It doesn't matter. So if the average Joe in the street gets held accountable, that president should also be held accountable. The laws that they break, and they're out there, man. They're out there. So, you know what? I really feel for people out there who are going to get hurt because of Ramadan. And it's not a laughing situation. It's just that when it comes up, people die. Because you have Muslims out there looking to make some kind of extreme statement and they want to hurt innocent people. What kind of religion is that? What kind of religion is any religion that goes out and wants to, like, preach that type of thing and hurt people, right? So I want to end this talking about the bees, man. So the bee population has been dying off all around, right? Especially here in the U.S. For, you know, 20 years now, something like that. And I've been saying, I'm blaming cell towers. I'm blaming that whole thing, radiation from cell towers, that's basically doing this. So for all these years, you know, those communication companies would hire these big lobbyists, go in there, oh yeah, cell towers are okay, they're healthy, they're fine, you can have them anywhere, they don't cause a problem and all that. Now, and same for cell phones, same for all that technology. Now, just a couple weeks ago, a report came out that was being held back by the FDA, and all of a sudden, it's not held back anymore. Trump is in there. He wants the truth to come out. It's very interesting how they're saying that they've known for years that cell phones cause malignant tumors in the brains of rats and mice. Okay. Now they come out with a report saying that cell towers are interfering with animals, nature, bird populations, all of that, giving them tumors, screwing them up. And if there's a farm near a cell tower, the animals there have tumors, malignant tumors, and they die of cancer. So boom. Don't you think that could pour over on something as fragile as bees, honeybees especially? And then we need to look into this, but if the ultimate war comes down between people's health and cell towers, what do you think is going to happen? Who do you think is going to win? Do you think that's going to be the regular old people that win? Or do you think it's going to be the communication companies that wield so much power? Do you think they're going to win? So I'll let you think of that. Also, Trump saying that the DOJ is out to frame him. Yep. I don't think that you can get any more drama in a presidential election, man. It's riveting, as a matter of fact. Ugly, disgusting at times, funny at times. It's an emotional roller coaster ride, right? Up and down, back and forth, side to side. Welcome to the jungle. Yeah, I'll leave you with that. So, this is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 The Pascal Channel. Say have a great weekend. Bye.